fighting for America.
Make a commitment to this committee that you will not succumb to any pressure by this administration to increase the pace of transfers from Guantanamo. Will you commit to that?
Absolutely.
Fighting for Idaho.
Under both Republicans and Democrats, Washington has become a place of big government, big business, and big labor.
Fighting for you.
What are you doing? We're in the middle of a nudist beach.
It's not anything against the nudists. They were in their environment, and they were looking at us like, what the heck are we doing here?
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Blessed to be a part of your day. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and there you have it from Brian Williams. In an attempt to honor the troops, I embellished. Wow. We'll get to that, and probably sometime either this week or next, we'll get our friends on from the Media Research Center and get their thoughts on a oops, I did it again moment. You know, should Brian Williams be fired? I don't know. And as I've opined, and you as well, there is, you know, there is a different standard in life, not only for Republicans, but people that are conservative, the people that try to live by a moral compass. Look, we try to live by a moral compass, and we are all flawed human beings, and we acknowledge those flaws, and we work harder to be better, but we all make mistakes. So how big of a mistake was it? We'll get into that coming up as we continue to start your day. Couple other things. I put this on the Kevin Miller Show Facebook page, and Ann Coulter hitting it out of the park, talking about the Bush family and saying, quote unquote, we've had enough of these. You know, do we need a third imbecile when we're talking about Jeb Bush? And Jeb Bush is really trending right now. People are saying, you know, he's got some issues concerning the illegals. He sounds like a Democrat. He wants to populate Detroit with nothing but immigrants. And that, you know, he sounds like Obama's attorney general nominee, Lynch, who basically says that, you know, it doesn't matter if you have lived in this country, whether you're a legal citizen, that everybody has the right to work. So, again, things are heating up on the national level, but I go back to Jeb Bush when he's talking about his past conversations where he admits it's not completely possible to control the border. Ridiculous not to give accelerated citizenship to the young. And what we've been seeing here, and there's only one person that I know of on a national level who is sticking up for us, and that is Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. We'll hear from him in a minute. But the idea that we're training tech employees, Americans are, and then they're replacing the very Americans that are training them. So it really makes you wonder. Obama, back with the Dreamers, these kids are Americans just like us. Well, if that's the case, then I guess there is no requirement of citizenship, right? Anyway, those are a few thoughts. We're going to do something a little different here this morning at 580 KIDO. This is a little longer clip, but it's a conversation we had. If you've been listening for a while, we had this a little yesterday, about an hour ago, if you will. You know, I'm sorry, not an hour ago, about 7:40 in the program yesterday, played a clip of this. And this was the budget committee hearing to addressing President Obama's budget director. And how many times have we been somewhere, whether it's the kitchen or at work, and saying, this makes no sense? I mean, look, I'm not a numbers person, but you can't keep printing money and the stock market keep blowing up in a good way, right? And this is the first time in American history where we've had the labor market continue to shrink and the stock market continue to expand. No, John Edwards called it Two Americas. I think we're living that. Let's take a listen to Jeff Sessions here at 580 KIDO.
The middle class is really hurting. Working Americans today are not doing well. Since 2000, the 2007 median income in America is down $4,000 for income for a family. This is catastrophic. This is absolutely one of the most dangerous trends we've seen in some time. And it's accelerated over the last decade. It's accelerated under your president's, our president's watch, Mr. Donovan. The problem is your policies. Tax more, spend more, borrow more, regulate more, Obamacare more, and an immigration policy that dominates the market with workers from abroad when we don't have enough jobs for American workers, pulling down wages of Americans. That's what's caused this problem, in my opinion. And that's where we disagree, Senator Sanders. We got a problem, but your ideas will not work. They will never work. Now, Mr. Donovan, reckless spending endangers the future of the republic. As Mr. Elmendorf has told us, we remain on an unsustainable debt course. Let me ask you this simple question. Does your budget spend more or less than we agreed to with President Obama and the Budget Control Act of 2011?
Our budget overall reduces spending relative to current law expectations.
I just asked a simple question. You work for the taxpayers, Mr. Donovan. I'm asking you on their behalf a simple question. Does your budget spend more money next year than the current law of the Budget Control Act allows?
Overall, our budget reduces spending compared to current law.
Overall, your budget spends $74 billion more next year than allowed by current law. Isn't that true?
I think what you're focused on, Senator, is discretionary spending. And I think that there is broad agreement that
that's what the Budget Control Act covers.
That sequestration is hurting our military readiness. The Joint Chiefs of Staff testified to that this past week. And it is hurting our ability to invest in the things
you work for the American people, Mr. Donovan. I ask you, do you propose spending more money next year on discretionary accounts than was agreed to in the Budget Control Act? Yes or no? Can
we
you not answer that question?
I believe I've answered it, Senator.
No, you
haven't
answered.
Proposing to reverse sequestration.
And
our budget fully pays for those increased investments on the discretionary side with mandatory spending reductions and cutting spending, wasteful spending in the tax code.
Well, one of the ways you fix a budget problem is when you agree to a spending limit, you stick to it. So I'm going to ask you one more time.
Now, a lesson for everybody. If Jeff Sessions were just pandering to all of us to run for president, how many people would vote for him here in Idaho? Or perhaps you're listening in Guam. Perhaps you're listening in Kosovo. Perhaps you're listening in New Hampshire or anywhere else, Alabama or North Carolina or anywhere else at 580kido.com. The reason why I say this is I was looking over our website and we have a lot of people from China listening. We're trying to free the Chinese, so good. But have you ever heard of a politician, and of course you won't see this on the news, saying, how about cutting spending? It's unsustainable. And then you hear the guy from the administration saying it's all, to blame someone, sequestration. Does that work for you when it comes mortgage time? I mean, really, does that work for you when it comes to credit card time? Or tuition time. But it seems to work for our federal government.
Let's just see if we can get this straight. The American people need to know. Do you propose to spend more next year than the Budget Control Act would allow?
We propose to lift the sequestration caps, which have been harmful to our military readiness, that have been harmful to economic growth. We more than fully pay for those with reductions in spending on the mandatory side and reducing wasteful spending in the tax code.
So you intend to spend more than we agreed to. That's all I want you to say. Will you say that?
Our budget proposes
more than 400.
Why won't
you say that? What is it about this that allows you to continue in that way?
Senator, I think there is pretty broad bipartisan agreement.
We're going to discuss
that discretionary spending is not driving our deficits. And in fact, our discretionary spending, even with the increases on the discretionary side we propose in our budget,
so you won't give us remains, the American people for whom remains, you work a simple answer to that question.
It remains
ask you
at
one
the lowest more. Level as a share of our economy.
The time's running out. Let me ask you
on
one
record.
More question. Under your statement that you gave us earlier, you said that the immigration policies of this president would make Social Security more sustainable over time. Now, isn't it true that everybody in Social Security does not pay in enough money to justify the withdrawals that they will take over their lifetime? And by adding millions of more people unlawfully here to the Social Security rolls, will that not make Social Security less sustainable over time than it is today? Yes or no?
There we have it. We already know that Social Security is in trouble just with the American input. Now you throw in the illegals and uh-oh.
Just yesterday, the actuary for the Social Security Administration confirmed that the president's executive actions that he took late last year would improve the prospects for Social
Over
Security.
Over what period of time?
Over the life of the individuals?
You're not counting the times that these individuals would be drawing their benefits, Mr. Donovan. You're counting a short-term window in which they would pay in, creating a short-term surplus of money or additional flow of money. But you're not counting when they draw out. It's going to make the Social Security hole deeper. It's going to make it harder for us to save Social Security and Medicare, and you know it. And you're suggesting to the American people directly different from that. And it's wrong.
There you have it. Senator Sessions, by the way, you can go to KIDO AM Facebook or Kevin Miller Show Facebook, and you can get that link there. I encourage you to pass it around to save it. And you, again, follow me on Twitter at Kevin Miller Show or at 580KIDO on Twitter as well. We try and send these things throughout the day. Coming up next, Jeb Bush makes a statement. By the way, if you'd like to react to that, to me, that's the first time that a politician has ever called out the administration with a lot more credibility than John Boehner or Mitch McConnell. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If we had more Jeff Sessions, perhaps we'd be on our way to a stable economy. Maybe one time you were young. I suppose we were all young. And, you know, the best analogy that I can come up with is the credit card, right? Or taking out a second mortgage on your home. How many of us during the boom time said, well, look, my home is valued at $500,000, $300,000, $200,000. And, you know, I only paid $200,000 or $150. I've got $50,000 of equity. Well, eventually, you could probably take out a third, probably not a fourth, but you got to start paying that back, and if you can't, then you get another job, right? You do the Dave Ramsey, or you kind of move on. Are we going to get the boot from our own home because of these fiscal policies? And why aren't the Republicans taking a page out of Sessions' playbook and saying, you know, that's a brilliant argument when you have people that want to talk about guest workers, when they want to talk about, how should we put this, the dreamers and paying taxes and everything else? Well, the Social Security system, hey, here's something. If you've come here illegally and now you want to be legal, you're going to pay more in Social Security taxes to pay for the native borns. Oh, that's two classes of people. Try going to another country and see how they treat you. Try coming here legally. 580-5436. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Oh, coming up, Ann Coulter sounds off on the Bush brothers, comparing them to the Three Stooges, if you will. Speaking of Jeb Bush, he was in Detroit having this to say about our government. Is he conservative enough for you? All right, we'll get back to Jeb Bush coming up here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. And we'll get the Bush sound for you. In addition to that, coming up at the 7 o'clock hour, our great friend Bill Gertz will join us from the Washington Free Beacon to talk a little national security and ISIS, China, why we're ignoring these big threats.
If Americans are working harder than ever, earning less than they once did, our government, our leaders should step up, offer a plan, fix what's wrong, and or they should step aside.
Jeb Bush laying the smack down here. We'll hear more of him coming up next hour. Here's another story that's getting a lot of attention. And we talked about it in the Manly Man segment. And this is NBC's Brian Williams saying that in his effort to honor the troops, he embellished being shot down by Al-Qaeda.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect.
Don't you hate when that happens? I was shot down, we held off Al-Qaeda, and now I'm a hero. And perhaps it's the growing cynicism in our country today, or perhaps as we see locally and nationally, that instead of being objective, we're talking about a very advocacy journalism, you know, journalism that advocates, well, we need to add the words, or journalism, and look, I don't blame the people doing it. It's what their bosses tell them. Now, Brian Williams, who's worked very hard to get where he is, but let's face it, everybody works hard. What should happen to him? Should they stamp his meal card, no dessert at the NBC commentary? Or do you believe we live in such a cynical nation that everybody's a liar and it's no big deal? Now, imagine if this were Bill O'Reilly. Imagine if this were Sean Hannity or Megyn Kelly that had talked about this, do you think that this would not be the front page of the New York Times? That this would not be the big story on the Today Show? Heck, it would knock Pete Carroll off. Poor Pete Carroll, by the way. Now you've got Matt Lauer that wouldn't know a football from a soccer ball saying, Coach, did you make the right call? It's so bad for Pete Carroll that Bill Belichick is actually defending him. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. It shows you, unfortunately, dear true believer, well, A, the significance of what we have together each and every morning, because we're the island in the insanity. We're the island when it comes to, you know, calling it like it is. But I believe we live in such a cynical world and such a world of double standards that, yes, Brian Williams can get away with this. And if it were our friend in the afternoon, Mr. Hannity, he'd be run. And we'd be talking about the faux ethics of journalism, right? Well, how can he do this? This is horrific. Give me a break. 6:30, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Does your budget spend more or less than we agreed to with the Budget Control Act?
Our budget overall reduces spending.
You work for the taxpayers, Mr. Donovan. Does your budget spend more money next year?
Our budget reduces spending compared to current law.
Yes or no? Can
we
you
are,
not answer that question?
I believe I've answered it, Senator.
No, you haven't answered.
To reverse.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
K. Miller in the Morning. Coming up, I'm going to share this piece from Ann Coulter. It's a really good piece. I'm not going to look, you can Google it, or I'm going to put it on. Actually, I'll put it on 580KIDO's Facebook. But she compares the Bush, Daddy Bush, George Bush, and Jeb Bush to the Marx Brothers, if you know who they are. Let's go to the phones. We go to our friend Donna Lee, our great friend Donna Lee in Napa. How are you, ma'am?
Well, I'm fine. I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday today.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. How old do you think that I am?
Well, you are 47.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am. And now, are you parking your car in any places? I remember, the last time we saw you, you were parking your car at the Occupy thing.
Yes, that's right, and that was a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just got home, and I just wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday, and wish that your day would go well.
Well, no birthday spankings.
Okay. We'll hope for that then.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the kind thought.
Okay. Gotta go.
Okay. Bye bye, Donna Lee. And by the way, we have a classroom in New Hampshire listening to us today. So. Going back to my role as an educator, I don't know if I should share this Ann Coulter thing. Might give the kids some direction. How about I'll do this to our classroom listening to us in New Hampshire right now. I don't know if y'all have internet in schools. And look, we're always talking about doing the right thing, and we try, and gosh knows we all try. But I have to give major props last night to Channel 5 plus 1, or is it 4 plus 5? Well, you know who I'm talking about. They did an excellent story on the IEN. I guess that's, what is it, the Idaho Internet Connection or something like that? The Idaho Education Network. Thank you very much. It's the statewide broadband and video conferencing system implemented in Idaho schools in 2009. And remember, you've got Syringa Network suing the state over being cut out of the original deal, and they won. I remember teasing TPB and Idaho Steve about this when they said, why don't we give the money to a state firm? And a lot of people made allegations against then state superintendent Tom Luna. But it's interesting from this story from Channel 5 plus 1 or 4 plus 5. Currently, the IEN is costing taxpayers twice. And you can check this out when you get your cell bill. But how many people actually look at their cell bill unless it's over, whether it's data or phone calls? Every cell bill you pay as a tax, the money goes to the feds, who in turn give Idaho funding for broadband in schools. Now, I don't know why we should give our money to the feds, then they give it back to us. And again, however, due to the contract lawsuit, the feds have pulled the reimbursement rate for Idaho, and the legislators have to find millions of tax dollars to compensate. Now, to keep the program running, the governor is asking for almost $9 million additional dollars, but some lawmakers are skeptical after the Idaho Education Network released a report showing that only 1,500 students took classes through that system last spring. Now, apparently, if your classroom is outfitted, it's $20,000 in high-tech tools. Now they pay that through grants. A recent audit found 47% of students or of schools don't even use the equipment. And it goes on and on, and you have a quote from the CEO of Syringa Networks. Folks, this is a big deal. And, you know, we always talk about downsizing. And you remember when Props 1, 2, and 3 were running wild? And for those listening in other places or can't remember or just moved here, it was an effort to reform education in the state. It was to whack tenure, to give every student a laptop and something else. I can't remember. And The legislature voted it through. The governor said it was okay. And then all of a sudden, let's see what happened. Oh, people got mad. The unions got organized. They hired an out-of-state consultant, and they overturned it through a referendum. And there you have the great educational wars that are kind of continuing today. And look, if you've got kids going to school, you know what you're saying. I want my kid to have a good job. I want him to live in a nice home. So, gosh darn it, I'm paying for these taxes, these schools, they need to deliver. So here we have the internet. And there was a brilliant article in the New York Times. And if you, again, have been with us for a while, and I hope that you have, and tell a friend, we need you. And that's just not pandering. It's true. We do. There was a brilliant article talking about the changing dynamics in a classroom. Now, how many of us remember teaching or going to school? You got a lecture, there was the overhead projector, or to you young kids, I mean, you had the computers and everything else, or the tablets. But you take a look at what's going on in some places, and it was in this Channel 5 Plus 1 report last night, that they have, you know, students actually watching a video screen, and you've got a teacher in one classroom teaching students in another classroom while teaching her own class. It's like interactive television. Remember when you went to college and they would put in the VHS tape and you would see something from the 1970s that was supposed to teach you probability matrices and something else in math, right? And you go, I'm paying for a professor. I've got a grad assistant that can't speak English and I'm watching television circa 1979. So we take a look at this and you think to yourself, we're not getting the money from the feds. We've got this lawsuit going on. And the idea of what, you know, what's the best method of teaching. So back to this New York Times piece where they profiled a discharged, honorably discharged female Marine in Idaho Falls. And she talked about the Socratic method. She talked about speaking to kids and interacting. And that is the true essence of learning. But today, whether it's the Idaho Education Network or anything else, I'm a tad bit concerned that we're going to downsize our already challenged state education system. So at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. By the way, here's the skinny on this. Didn't affect the governor at all. A.J. Belukoff spent $4 million and got less of a vote than Keith Allred did. And if you're the governor, if you're the people that won, you can do whatever you want this session and next session, in my opinion. So they're always talking about the technology spend is going to save on teachers' salaries, right? Well, we see that we're spending money, giving money to the feds. We're not getting it back because, uh-oh, nobody's held accountable. So, and you're thinking to yourself, well, who is going to be held accountable? Probably no one, right? Unfortunately. But two thoughts at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Are you down with this happening? Again, paying money to the feds and not getting it back, no one being held accountable for losing the lawsuit, going with an out-of-state firm, and now $9 million additional dollars for only 1,500 students? How many people in Burley or Notice or up north? Well, I don't care about them. I care about the Treasure Valley. Okay. You have a quote here again from the story. The Idaho Education Network allows more kids to have access to more classes. That's why it's great. And that's from Eric Exlein, the Meridian School District Public Information Officer. I suppose that it is, but just like Jeff Sessions talked about, you know, if you buy a car and it doesn't run, it's a bad investment. You don't continue to buy cars from the car dealers that cheat you, right? And do you spend something that is benefiting some students at the expense of others? That's one issue at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Other news of the day, as we said, Jeb Bush is making his run. Is he your guy to beat Hillary Clinton? And as we move along, we've got some other things going on. How about this one? And Dave Burnett and I were talking about this yesterday. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the INL? Where you have to get a passport or use a passport to get in because Idaho and, what is it, 8 other states have decided not to put the federal chip in driver's licenses. Truth be told, it's going to cost us millions of dollars. Look, everything is going to cost us millions of dollars, right? Well, now the feds are cracking down, and it may impact how you get out of Boise or get back into Boise. Tell you about that next. Stay tuned. Be informed. 580 KIDO 640.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller.
KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So we're looking into this story that apparently Idaho's driver's licenses are not in compliance with the feds. That's right, apparently the feds. So the feds are a little upset with Idaho, and you're thinking, well, who cares? Well, you heard about that a couple weeks ago, the old INL, where you're going to have your passport. Now, passports, they cost you, what is it, $1, $1.50, something like that, $2? And they're good for about 10 years. And I coincidentally looked up mine just in case the feds try and get me, because we're planning on doing some traveling here. The show is very soon. We'll tell you about that. And, you know, mine is done in April. So I've got to renew it, even though I'm not planning on leaving the country, because if there is not an agreement, and this is why this legislative session is so important, possibly to allocate new money to pay for these license upgrades, we could have a point where the government will, the TSA will not accept your documents, will not accept Idaho driver's licenses because they don't fit the federal criteria. Now, you talk about the feds, and who was I talking to about this? Where we're always talking about independence, and the feds say, yeah, you can be independent. We're going to cut off your money. Here's the details from our friends at Channel 7.
Look like it's a little bit normal, but this is going to change in 2016. It might be a different color. It might have some different holograms on it. They're not really sure exactly how it's going to change, but it's going to have to change. Otherwise, you won't be able to get on a commercial flight. Right now, you can't even go into, say, INL with this sort of a identification. So these are something.
Then again, I don't think a lot of people are going, hey, forget Harry Potter and Disney World, Disneyland. Let's go to the INL, little Timmy.
These are things that the lawmakers here in the State House are going to have to figure out in this next session.
It's an unfunded mandate.
This is what Idaho lawmakers think about the Real ID Act. It was a measure passed by Congress after 9/11 to protect your driver's license from being duplicated by terrorists.
The feeling is still there, you know, the resentment, the unfunded mandate, the pushback.
But Senator Burt Brackett, chairman of the Idaho Transportation Committee, says the local pushback against the federal government has got to end.
The realization is that unless we, you know, we can show, we've been getting extensions, and we can continue to get extensions, but we have to show some...
Dude, what's that music in the background?
Good faith effort that we are attempting to comply or on the road to compliance.
The Real ID Act prevents your state-issued driver's license from getting into the Idaho National Laboratories. That happened in July of 2014. Come October, you won't be able to get into military facilities like Gowan Field. And in 2016, unless Idaho complies with issuing an enhanced driver's license, TSA is not going to let you board a commercial flight.
If there were any changes for that, there would be ample notice given.
TSA spokesperson Lori Danker says there's no need for those flying to worry about it just yet.
But the policies surrounding that are outside of TSA, and if there were any changes to what people need in order to fly or to gain access through the security checkpoint, you would, that information would be publicized widely.
Still, Senator Brackett says lawmakers will have to address the issue quickly because it could cost upwards of $20 million to implement.
We need to do something before the legislature adjourns. Otherwise, we'll miss this last deadline. And, you know, we won't get an extension is what it amounts to.
And that next deadline would...
And there we have it. So we're taking a look at the Real ID Act. Can you imagine going to Boise International? Is it international? Okay, good. It's international. Boise International, want to make sure we're credible here. And all of a sudden, you give them your ID, and they say, I'm sorry, we don't accept that in America today. You take a look at what we're doing, and we're going to have to spend money, just like we have to spend money with the Idaho Education Network. Now we have to spend money to get our licenses compliant with the feds. Do you make a stand? Nine states, including Idaho, have said no. How willing are you to go get a passport? Who can afford a passport? It takes about, what, 8 weeks to get? Is this competency from our state government? Is this a state's rights issue? Will the states challenge this in court? Or is it just better safe than sorry? We'll talk about that. Plus, more national security issues coming up with our friend Bill Gertz of the Washington Free Beacon, the Gertz File. That's coming. 6:59, Brian Williams apologizes. Jeb Bush makes his case. Those stories and more are coming up from Fox News on the radio. We'll talk to Bill Gertz about the ISIS threat and whether or not we have to worry about it here in Idaho. Stay tuned.